All right. Well, we had a good day. We had a good afternoon. Yeah. Good afternoon, doing some public ministry. And it was not as hot as it's been. Had a little cloud cover. That was nice. And yeah, it was good. All right. Genesis chapter 35. So the day by day song, I like that. And it kind of goes with what we're going to talk about. So, yes. A home beyond the river. Jacob is told it's time to go back home. And this chapter. Yeah. Yep. This chapter is full of, yeah, really, and Ruth are going home. Everybody's going home. I like that song, I Have a Home Beyond the River, reminds me of this chapter. There's several things in here where Jacob is headed home, and lots of reminders that ultimately the world just is not our home. And I'd say the world, eventually, I mean, the earth will be the place that we live, and Jesus Christ lives and all that, but not in this environment, not this way. And you say this world is not your home. The world system, the under the curse and all that kind of thing, all those things are related to the world. At least when I mention it and I say it that way. But Jacob is told it's time to go to Bethel and start heading home. And so Genesis chapter 35, I'll read a few verses. And I'm gonna make mention as we go through this. Sort of all of the things that happen. There's several people that die in this chapter, people that are close to Jacob, and it's a grievous chapter in that sense. That plus there's other just elements of the fact that it's just the world's not home. Genesis chapter 35. It says, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. Be clean, change your garments. Let us arise, go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were around about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. All right, let's pray. And I'm going to just talk about these elements of the world really not being our home. But let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. I thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for your words. Thank you for an opportunity this afternoon to go out and hold up some signs for the Lord Jesus Christ and just get people to think about things that may not normally be thinking about. And I pray that it was an encouragement to those that are driving by that are saved, and a reminder to those that are driving by that aren't about their future and about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray you'd help us tonight, feed your flock, and thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the Lord says, go back to Bethel. It's time to go back and build an altar there. And it's going to be a place, it's the place that the Lord had answered his prayer. And He would be reminded of all those things. And so as he's leaving, and he's already left to some degree, you know, he left Laban. They had gone a little distance, but not as far as the Lord would have them go. And so when the Lord says it's time to go to Bethel, Jacob makes some preparations. And they're good. I mean, you could preach on just the first five verses, really. And I thought about doing that, but I don't really want to cover the whole chapter. So I'm just going to hit some highlights. In the first five verses, God says to go back home, go back to Bethel. And one of the things, or several of the things that Jacob does in response to taking his family in a direction that is where God wants them to go. Well, I'll let you guys help participate in this thing. In verse 2, what's the first thing Jacob says to his family? Put away the strange gods. Yeah. Put away the strange gods. This is where we're going and where we're going to meet with the Lord. This idolatry and the stuff that we're entangled in isn't a part of that. So in preparation to go back, let's put away the gods. Let's get rid of the idols. And it's a great reminder. I mean, I'm thinking about when we're singing day by day and just thinking about life. And if you're saved, you're headed in a direction. And the idea is you want to be as much like what you'll end up as. I mean, you want to be conformed to the image that you're heading towards. And so understandably, just like in Jacob's case, it's like, you know, idolatry and these other gods aren't a part of where we're going. And they're not a part of our relationship with God. So he says, put away your gods. And it reminds me also of Paul talking about it in Thessalonians, where he says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. This is the part he says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's putting away of the old gods that ran our lives, and putting away the old gods that made decisions for us. And there's a lot of things that can be your God that provide leadership in your life, provide decision making in your life. And the Lord says and Jacob says it's time to put that stuff away. Put away your gods. Then what does he say? What's the next thing he says in verse 2? Be clean. So where I'm going is a clean place. Be clean. Put away your gods and be clean. Clean up. And that's, I mean, like I said, you could just preach the first few verses here. But be clean. Get sanctified. Get set apart. Get some holiness in your life. And get away from the stuff that you're listening to. Get away from the stuff that you're watching. Get away from the stuff at least that's creating separation from you and the Lord and defiling your life. And so he says, put away your gods, be clean. Let's get cleaned up here. And then he says this, and change your garments. Change your garments. Time to put on some new clothes. Where we're going, we don't look like this where we're going. We don't have this attire where we're going. Put on, it makes me think of the robes of righteousness. Put on the armor of God. Put on different clothing. Change your garments. Be clean. Put away your gods. And all of these things, it's Jacob reminding his family, where we're going, none of this stuff belongs where we're going. And so it's time to make some separation here. And it's such a perfect illustration and perfect application in the Christian life, where I'm headed in this direction. I'm I'm being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And what that means is all the old gods that had a voice in my life, they don't have a voice anymore. Be clean. Clean up the life. Clean up the eyes, the ears, the heart. Clean those things up. Change your garments. Put on godly attire. Maybe it has to do with behavior. I mean, all these things could be preached out of this. But Jacob is just, these are the things that need to be done as we go and head home. Putting on the new man. It's exactly that. Yeah, yeah. Putting on the new man. All this stuff, literally, I thought, you know, I could just stop at verse 5. We'll just preach the first few things because Jacob has a perfect sermon here. I mean, it's perfect. But no, you wouldn't. There's occasions you wouldn't, like Mary Beth said, you wouldn't go to a wedding looking like garbage. And there's just some special occasions, special places, special times. And it fits. It matches the Christian life. And so Jacob tells his family these things. Put away your gods. Be clean. Change your garments. And then there's some grief involved on this journey. Verse 6, Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God had appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Allenbacheth. And so Deborah, one of the close friends of Jacob. Remember, it was Rebekah that loved Jacob. And she wanted, if she had a favorite, it was Jacob. And so the fact that Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, is in this in this group with Jacob and not with Esau, it's almost like you don't know when Rebekah dies. She's apparently probably already dead. But the last kind of reminder of mom is Deborah, her nurse, and Deborah dies. And so Deborah's death, it's some of mom's beloved friends die, and it's almost a reminder of this world is so fleeting and temporary, and grief is just a part of it. So Deborah dies. Deborah's close to Jacob. Then in verse 9, Jacob, he's reminded of his new name. It says, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And he had done that a couple chapters before. And now he's reminding him of it. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. And kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I give Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up. God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon. He poured oil thereon, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him Bethel. So there's this reminder of who Jacob is. And he's going to be called Israel, and this is going to be, when the Old Testament mentions Israel, Jacob is that man. He's Israel. And all of the tribes of Israel, it talks about the tribes of Israel. It's the tribes and the people that come out of Jacob. And so God's eye is going to be on this people that come out of Jacob. And he's going to watch. And he's going to watch all the souls that come out of Jacob. And he's going to carefully record all those people that come out of Jacob. And they're going to be known as Israelites. And so Jacob's reminded of his new name, and the promises are renewed in Jacob. He's reminded of these promises. And So all along this journey, he's headed back, and he prepares the family. He loses close friends along the way. He's reminded of his new name. He's reminded of his future. He's reminded of his children's future. And then this happens. Very sad thing happens here. Verse 16. The wife that Jacob loved is going to die. And it's this chapter, like I said, there's several deaths in this chapter, and it's a very bitter thing. Verse 16 says, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had a hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died, and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. So the wife that Jacob loved, the one that he wanted in the first place, Rachel, now she's had two sons. Well, she's had one, and this is her second son. She had Joseph, and now as they're traveling, Rachel has Benjamin. And in this childbirth and in this labor, Rachel dies. And Benjamin survives. He's one of the 12 tribes of Israel. He survives, but Rachel dies. And I guess Rachel must have been pretty young. And she must have been pretty young when she died. At most, maybe in her 40s, when you calculate some of these ages. And for that time, that's not very old. And so Rachel dies, and some of this chapter explains a lot about why Jacob ends up treating Joseph and Benjamin the way he does. Because their mom's dead, which is the wife that he wanted to marry, and there's only two children out of that marriage, which is Joseph and Benjamin. And when Joseph is taken, and Jacob doesn't know where Joseph, he thinks he's dead, that by the time you get to the end of Genesis, and there's this, you don't know, it's not revealed that Joseph is who he is, and he's running Egypt. And so when he talks about finding Benjamin and making sure Benjamin is safe, some of that's explained in all of this. It's Joseph and Benjamin are real brothers. They're not half brothers. They're full blooded brothers. They have the same mom. And Joseph, at the end of Genesis, he wants to make sure the other brothers haven't killed off Benjamin too. And so some of this stuff is explained. And it's also explained why Judah says what he says, that if Benjamin's dead, or if Benjamin dies, then Jacob's just not going to, he's just not going to have any reason to live. He's not going to feel like he has any reason to live anymore. And so that explains some of the end of the things in Genesis here. But so Rachel dies. She's young, and she dies in childbirth with Benjamin. And so now you've got Rebecca's nurse is dead. Rebecca's probably dead, which is Jacob's mom. And then now Jacob's wife is dead, Rachel. So all of these things, these events, is just one thing after another that's recorded very quickly. And it just serves to remind Jacob that this world and the life that he's living, it's full of grief, it's full of trouble, but God's future is so much better and so good. And so the world is just not, it's just not your home. It's not your home. And then verse 21, you got the disqualification of Reuben amidst some of the genealogy here. It says, and Israel journeyed, verse 21, and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. So that's the thing, if you remember, just real quickly, that's the thing that disqualifies Reuben. You've got Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Those are the first four boys that are born, and the seed is going to pass through one of Jacob's 12 boys, and Reuben is disqualified for this, and he says he's unstable as water. He is just, he doesn't have any of the characteristics of the seed who is Christ. Then, of course, Simeon and Levi had been disqualified in the chapter before for their murder and their murderous ways. And so the one that's going to, and we talked about it before, the one that carries the seed is going to be Judah. But here's Reuben's, the short account of that. And then the little genealogy is given, verse 23, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin, the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali, and the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob which were born to him in Padan-Aram. So God's going to watch the souls that come out of Jacob, and he's going to use Jacob's lineage, and ultimately it's going to end up in Jesus Christ. But he's going to carefully detail the souls that come out of Jacob and account for them. So we got the little genealogy there. And then lastly is this, verse 27, Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron. Anybody know anything significant about Hebron and David? That's where he reigned for 7 years, in Hebron. How about Bethlehem? Anything about Bethlehem? Never heard of Bethlehem, huh? Yeah. Well, that's where Rachel dies, and that's where David's from, and that's where Jesus Christ comes out of. All right, verse 27. Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. It's 180 years old is how old he was. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So the chapter ends with Jacob's dad dying, Isaac, and 180 years old. He lives a long time. He's been very blessed, and now Jacob is the only living patriarch. Abraham's dead, Isaac's dead, a lot of the family are dead. Jacob's really, his the wife that he wanted is dead. And so his line now is going to be followed. He's the only living patriarch. His life it's a deep mixture of wonderful hope and just terrible grief. And it's just a reminder, again, singing that song day by day, what does he say? It's mixing pain and pleasure, things like that. Like, that is life. That is the constant reminder that, man, this world is just not my home. It's just not my home. And Jacob is reminded of that all the way through this. That his future, the future is so much brighter, and this wandering around and really living day to day and basing your life essentially on the promises of God, mixed with the trouble that comes with life in this world, that's just waiting on something. It reminds me of what he said in Hebrews. He said these patriarchs, and Abraham particularly, said he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, just waiting on the future. And then he says over there in Hebrews, when he talks about faith, he said all of these people died without the promise. They just wandered around, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And that's the life of these men. That's the life. That's our lives. It's a great correlation and connection to the life of a Christian. But the home beyond the river, there's mixture of grief and death and opportunity and promise and all those things. It's just now the whole family is sort of Jacob's he's the patriarch now. He's going to carry the torch. And the Lord is going to focus in on Jacob and his life and what happens with him. And so that's Genesis 35. Could have, like I said, preached the first part of it, but I wanted to get the whole chapter in here and let you guys see what's going on here and understand all of the components of what's happening in these chapters. So I hope that's helpful to you. Just thinking about a home beyond the river and Jacob's life. He'll say at the end, that reminds me, he says at the end of his life, he says, few and evil have been the days of my life. Just that's his testimony. Just wandering around, but pretty good correlation to the life of a Christian. So hope that's helpful. Let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Going through this whole chapter, pray we'd understand what we need to understand about it. And I thank you for your words. Thank you for, again, each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. And thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ, for eternal life that is a free gift, and righteousness, the righteousness of God that is accredited to our accounts when we're looking for it and seeking the righteousness of God. Thank you that you offer it freely. And again, thank you for this time together. I pray you'd give us safety going home and a good week this week, and that we can be good testimonies for you where we go. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.